The reading today is Psalm 150, one of my favourites. I hadn't planned that it would be me, but I'm going to enjoy reading it anyway. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Could you stick me the start of the PowerPoint? I think I might have done too many slides on the PowerPoint, but you can put up with that. Yeah, I mean, thinking about breakfast in bed anyway, I mean, my dear wife will always just speak to me and say, how did you get baked beans down your jammers? But so there you are, you know, we know the answer to that eventually. Psalm 150, and pretty much 3 points to make. That makes it easier for you to, you know, oh good, he's done point one now, we're moving on. It makes it easier for me as well to know where I'm going. So the first of the 3 points I want to make, it will be about endings, because Psalm 150 is the last psalm in the psalmody, and that's important, the fact that it ends on a note of prayer. I mean, I'm jumping ahead in what I'm going to say, but for me it's almost indicative of the fact that the whole of life finds its meaning in praise and celebration. I mean, you will know from your own, people tell me, I really love the Psalms, you know, they seem to reflect my mood, etc. Some of the Psalms, and Pravin has one next Sunday, are very difficult, very hard. But the whole gamut of human life is there. With all its celebrations and all its kicks in the teeth, they're all there, ends on a note of praise. It's almost as if we're getting the message from Psalm 150. Irrespective of what you've been through in life and irrespective of what you're going through, the objective of it all is praise and celebration. Get that right, you focus upon God, other stuff will fall into place. So that's where I'm going initially. Then I want to have a little look with you at Psalm 150. What does it say? What's it all about? You know, what does it mean? And then last of all, though the phrase used in Psalm 150 is praise, praise the Lord, I guess I want to ask you, so what do you mean by that? What? And I will move on to the word worship. I hope that that's okay with you. If you think that praise and worship are two very different things, just colour me after the service, and you know. But what do you mean? By praise of God. What do you mean by worship? And how does it fit into your life? So there's pretty much where I'm going. And we've got the subtitle there, if your eyesight's good enough. It says, famous last words. And some of the famous last words are spoken, some of the famous last words are written. Take me on, Leslie. There's, Nelson get stuck on the top of a column for all of this And I mean, there's a manner of speaking. I'm thinking to myself, why did you choose that one, Malcolm? There are lots and lots of other famous, but I suppose I saw the picture. I thought, oh yeah, let's do that one. Nelson's last words were either "kiss me hardy" or "kismet hardy," which means that's the way it goes, sunshine. but whatever, yeah, we all know. When you go to London, as you know, it's stuck 150 feet above contradiction there, so, you know. And people go visiting in London, one of the things they want to see is Nelson's column. So I guess he comes into that category of famous last words. Take me on again, Leslie. There's me dad. There's me dad as a younger man. Good cricketer, me dad. And do you know, over the years, the older he got, the more like his now son. There was a time when he was very, and me too, very slender. And it makes me smile. My dad's famous last words, he passed away 30 years ago in what we knew then as Walsgrave Hospital. And, you know, he went into the ward and we settled him in. We had no idea what was going to happen next. But typical, if you look at my name, I'm M.B. Clark. Well, I'm Bernard, if you wondered what the B was. My dad was Bernard, you see, named after my dad. Bunny, they used to call him, the Bun. And we're coming away from the hospital, and the last thing we heard my dad say ever is, "What are you going to do to get a cup of tea round here?" That seems fairly typical of the guy that I loved. And, you know, there are many of us today whose fathers are not there in person to greet any longer. But for many of us, you know, to tumble all our memories over in our hearts and just say, "Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity." So that was my dad's famous last words. I guess this is the one that we ought to focus upon, famous last words, most of all. I mean, when you come to the cross, when you come to Good Friday, I'll stand back from the microphone because I'm sometimes told I'm much too loud. And it says of Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice, which is an amazing thing, because these are his last words. It's not a whimper, it's not a whinge, it's a tetelestai, which means it's finished. And you can understand that how you want to. You can, if you want to understand it as a negative statement, then do. I see it as a very positive statement that Jesus is saying, "We've done it, guys. All these people in Hinckley Baptist Church and wherever they may be have borne all their sins, and they are all nailed to a cross. And we've come through it all. And into thy hands I commend my spirit." It's finished. We've done. And a wonderful thing, his famous last words. Again, Leslie. But, you know, Psalm 150. just before we go on from spoken words, I should have looked it up on the internet because I don't think it was an original, but a Church of Scotland minister in Inverness, who I greatly respected, is reported as having as his final words, "See in what peace a Christian may die." I think, whoa, you know, to have that as your last word is fantastic. Some famous last words are written. They are not spoken, they're written. Again, Leslie, please. And Psalm 50, 150 is such. Now, this is important to me. And, you know, I hope that you'll see where I'm coming from as to why I'm saying that it's important. Again, Leslie. See, the book of Psalms, I don't know what you know about the book of Psalms, but it's not just a random load of poems that you look at and think, ooh, what's that all about? And, or, I like that one, whatever. I mean, you will have your favourite psalm, something that really speaks to your heart. I know you will. But the book of Psalms is actually a collection of five books. Anyway, if you really have a look in your book of Psalms, you'll see book 1 to 41, then 42 to 72, 73 to 89, 90 to 106, and 107 to 150. And it says there that the first four books all end on a note of praise. I'll flash up, or Leslie will in a minute, flash up some, oh, there you are, there's the first book of the psalm, end of the first book. They all end on a note of praise. And Psalm 150 ends on a note to end, a note of praise to end all notes of praise. It's the final doxology. But there you go. Psalm 41, the end of the first book. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And yeah. And it's almost right from the book one of Psalms that you're getting the vibe, hey guys, this is what life is all about. This is what life is meant for. If you're struggling as to what is the purpose of life, what's the purpose of your life, and etc., it's to praise God. There'll be all manner of things that you and I are looking for, hoping for in life, like peace of mind and direction and etc. It's almost as if the Psalms are telling us, particularly Psalm 150, you go searching them as an end in themselves, you'll never find them. You go looking after peace of mind as an end in itself, you'll never find it. It's like 1970s, was it, somebody sang about the elusive butterfly. You know, however hard you try, you can't. But the psalmist is saying, you come putting God first and live your life in celebration of him. All the other stuff will fall into place. Peace of mind, what have you, direction, purpose of life. You'll discover it as a byproduct of living a worshipful life. You won't find it ever as an end in itself, but as a byproduct of a worship. Show me again, Leslie. There we are, the end of the second book, Psalm 72. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed, blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And once again, you know, as we said just a few moments ago, between 42 and there, there'll have been all manner of scenarios, some of which you and I will thank God, I've never been in that kind of situation, Lord. And others of which, you know, will put the fear of God in you. And the others again, you'll think, oh, that's exactly me, that's me to a T. But all of them end on a note of praise. And eventually, I'm not going to go through 3 and 4 just to, you know, ram home the point. But 5, the end of the 5th book, Psalm 150, is all about praise and celebration and how we go about it. Once more then, Leslie, let's see one that comes next. Oh, yeah. Well, that purports to be John Lennon's contribution and John Lennon's signature. And you've all come across those people who, you know, you give them an autograph book or will you sign this, or and they immediately turn to the last page, make sure, by hook or by crook. I remember when I was a kid, I'd just become a Christian, and which was unusual for me at the time. It was lunchtime. I was sat with an open Bible. I was in the 6th form at school. And I'm sat with an open Bible, thinking I was on my own, minding my own business. And somebody passed me by, saw what I was doing, and said, you want to read the last book of that Bible, mate? It says, because it's like a good whodunit, and if you look at the last page in the Bible, you find out that God did it. Yeah, which, you know, and I have, I think, over the piece, I found out that God did it. But having a look at Psalm 150, and the psalmist saying, look, all of this ends on the note of praise. It made me think, well, how does the whole Bible finish then? What are the last words in the Bible? Revelation 22. And it says there, he who testifies to these things, yet, yes, I'm coming soon. That's why we celebrate Holy Communion month on month. You remember the Lord's death until he came. It's an interim arrangement, reminding us that Jesus said he would come again, and saying back to God, yeah, we're part of that anticipating congregation, Lord. We're looking for your coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And at the end of a service, whenever we say the grace to one another, it's not a way of saying to each other, okay, chaps, it's all over for this morning. It's time to go home now. It is. It's invoking the grace of God upon us all. And I find that very biblical. So the Bible ends on this note of celebration and expectation, of hope and of looking forward. Let's have a look at my notes here. Okay, so take me on again, Leslie. Thank you very much. So all of that is about endings. The way that things end, particularly the book of Psalms, and asking the questions, what can we learn from endings, and how do we fit in to, you know, the whole scheme of things? But this is all then just, do you see in top right hand corner, do you see young Mike there playing that's him playing the cymbals, because we we've got down there, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Yeah. I was just thinking, mine was going off at a tangent. There's a lady we know in the Salvation Army, plays in the band. I've never seen anybody hit a tambourine quite as hard as she does. You know, she really gives it a good smack. And, you know, it's not very, oh dear, to confess it publicly, that between the two of us, we just know her as corporal punishment. Yeah, bang, get that in there. But you know, maybe you'll see, I don't know, maybe you'll see that some of the things ought to be obvious, that all the red stuff is about praising. From beginning to end, this is a psalm about praise. And that's why in a minute I'm going to go off at a tangent again and say, well, what do you mean by worship? Praise and worship. And then the stuff in bold type is about who we're supposed to praise. It's the Lord. It's God. It's him. You know, this is what we were made for. We are made in the image of God. And we are made to glorify God in our everyday living, in who we are, in our every breath. We've got in verse 1, in the green bit, we've got praise God, and now we're getting to how and where and why we should worship. We praise God in his sanctuary. I mean, that's what we do Sundays. There's a sense in which this is not a special place, and equally this is a special place. But this is what we call the sanctuary. So effectively the psalmist is saying, whenever you come together, guys, will you make sure that God is at the centre of everything? And then praise him in his mighty heavens. There's maybe a sense in which I feel that that is being addressed to the whole of creation. Puts me in mind of the book of Revelation again, chapters 4 and 5, which are end of times scriptures, but you find the whole of creation just celebrating the Lamb upon his throne. And it's just a breathtaking piece of scripture. It absolutely is. But at the same time, I find praise him in his mighty heavens. I find it very Celtic theology, which is in vogue again now. And Celtic theology, as I encounter it really in Welsh and Scottish history particularly, is just the outdoor life. It's the raising of the sheep and the cattle. It's the growing of the crops. It's the lighting of the fire. It's the everyday business of getting on with life and putting God at the heart of all of that. So, I mean, we've got statements about where we should celebrate God. And then in verse 2, we've got a statement about why we should celebrate God, praise him for his acts of power and for his surpassing greatness. That is to say, we praise God for what he's done and for who he is. For what he's done. I mean, when the psalmist was writing, he would undoubtedly have been thinking about the deliverance from Egypt, from slavery, all that kind of stuff. Not that alone. I mean, as again, when you read the Psalms, you find all kinds of stuff that the psalmist had been through. And his testimony comes that, okay, God's helped me through all those times. That's great. I mean, for acts of power, we undoubtedly will be looking towards Good Friday, towards Easter Day, towards Pentecost, and we'll say to one another today, and to anybody who will listen, if you want to know why we should praise God, well, have a look at this and consider that and think about, wow, and for all his acts of power and then for his surpassing greatness, for who he is, who is like the Lord in his holiness, in his gentleness, in his love, in his graciousness, in his willingness to have the likes of you and me back again and again and again. We've got all of that. And then we go on to the issues of, or one of the ways in which we celebrate. And it's all about public worship. I thank you, the band, again this morning. Thank you, the band, and thank you for those who play music before the service and after the service. Thank you for the opportunity to sing God's praise, and it's a wonderful thing. I still don't see many of us dancing. Is that not your thing? You know, but I'm sure that Mike would be willing to let you have a go on the cymbals, and Ruth would be very happy to know if there are any strings or pipes here. They don't look very enthusiastic about that, Ruth. And even if they had a go, you might not be very enthusiastic anyway. But, the whole gamut of how we praise God worshipfully when we're together. However, take me on, Leslie. However. And this is a thing for me. Let everything that has breath. So we're not talking about end of time, because end of time is talking about things that have breath and things that don't as well. I mean, we sing one of the old hymns talks about sun and moon bow down before him. That's end of time stuff. Sun and moon don't have breath. But this is talking about the whole living scenario, and in particular it's talking about flesh and blood like you and me. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. However, real worship is a whole person thing, and it's 24/7. If you really want to wind me up, come and tell me that on a Sunday morning, the first three hymns that we sing, that's the worship. Okay? We'll have the worship first. And then, so what does that mean? The prayers and the reading and the speaking aren't the worship? The going out through the front door to live your life after that, they're not the worship? We did the worship in the first quarter of an hour? Because I don't believe that for a moment. I think it's a great starting point. But if that's the sum total of what we mean by worship, then I think we've missed the point pretty heavily. I'm going to quote, it's not so much that I'm quoting somebody else's dad, but the late Keith Muggleton, I inherited one of his books, and I'm very grateful. And the great preacher Andrew Murray, this is one of Andrew Murray's comments from the late Keith's book. He says this: to worship is man's highest glory. Man was created, and woman, was created for fellowship with God. Of that fellowship, worship is the sublimest expression. All the exercises of the religious life, meditation and prayer, love and faith, surrender and obedience, all culminate in worship. Recognizing what God is in his holiness, his glory, and his love, realizing what I am as a sinful creature and as the Father's redeemed child. In worship, I gather up my whole being and present myself to God to offer him the adoration and the glory which is his due. The truest and fullest and nearest approach to God is worship. Every sentiment and every service of the religious life is included in it. To worship is our highest destiny, because in it, God is everything. Wow. Real worship is a whole person 24/7 thing. And on again, I've used this quotation from Archbishop William Temple many times before, where he says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. That's worship. And again, please, Leslie. The objective and the purpose of life is to praise the Lord with everything we are, in everything we do, so as to become the embodiment of praise, both here and hereafter. As long as we live, we are here. The purpose of life, the purpose of our existence, is to be God-focused and to celebrate him, imagination, heart, soul, mind, love the Lord your God with everything, the whole shebang of who you are. Love the Lord your God. And should Christ come while we are still alive, well and good. And if we go first, and Christ is still to come, to have lived a worshipful life is the way to have lived life come the things of eternity. Again, Leslie. I think we should take we should be concerned when the Lord himself, quoting Isaiah, he says, these people honor me with their lips. See, that's dead easy. That honoring me with their lips, whether it's sung praise, whether it's with eyes closed, hands raised, whatever it may be, that's dead easy. But their hearts are far from me. And Jesus is saying, don't do it, Ethel. You know, that's not the way forward. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. We have to have that praise of God, which is all day long and 24/7. And again, Leslie, we're not called to be consumers. You're not here. If you think the sermon's rubbish today, go and tell God about it. Say, you know, sharpen that Malcolm Clark up, he's losing it a bit. But we're not here to be consumers. We're here to be servants. We're here to worship God, to put him at the heart of everything, and then to be the beneficiaries of everything that we are hoping for from God, simply because we've put him first in everything that we regard as being important in life. So here's the last slide. Hooray! Okay. The Psalms end on this note. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. There's the message today. And the whole of the Bible ends on Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, teach us how to worship, teach us how to live our lives as an act of praise and worship, to not remotely attempt to draw attention to ourselves or to receive a round of applause that is really yours to receive, but rather, Lord, just to be a signpost all the time, pointing away to the source of all real blessing, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord God. Now we would pray that we all, and many whom we pray so deeply for, will have the joy of that experience of knowing relationship with the living God, the sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, renewed and tied in to everything that is important as the Holy Spirit comes in to fill our lives. We get things wrong, Lord. None of us are perfect. But help us to confess our sins, to get right with you, first of all, and then to get right with one another, wherever that's possible or necessary, after that, Lord God. But we would praise you, fallible and frail human beings though we are, we would praise you and worship you with every fiber of our being, Lord, as long as we live, and then by your grace and mercy, with all your gathered community in the kingdom of heaven too. So come, Lord God, take up residence again, not only in the midst of us, Lord, but in each and every heart and life. And what it is that we are looking for, as we look towards you and beg for you to help us with X or Y or Z, as indeed we begin to worship, Lord, come and bless us with all those experiences, all those things which are so elusive apart from our worship of you. So we commend one another to your care, and we commend to you, Lord, all the hopes and aspirations that we hold as a congregation, Lord God. We commend all such to you, and we would pray, come, living God, bless us, each and every one, and may we praise the Lord. Amen and amen.